In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Come to me, all that are weary and carry in heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, yesterday I celebrated 25 years of being a priest. 25 years ago, the time has just flown, as it does. 25 years ago at St. Peter's in Ealing, Barbara and I and the family gathered for my priesting, and 25 years later, here I am today. And I've worn my chasuble today, this glorious garment that has been wonderfully produced for us, although it's hot, because this is a priestly garment, a chasuble. It can only be worn by a priest. And it's significant because when you're priested, you can bless the sacrament and you can hear and give absolution for people who come to you for confession. But most important of all, the privilege of being able to bless and give life to people through word and bread and wine. And I was thinking back over this, over the 25 years I've done this, it has never been a burden. Never been a burden at all. It's a mantle that I feel I've carried lightly. It's never been an effort. There are huge challenges with just living on site here and the things that come your way. We were disturbed last night till very late by the noise that took place with the parties that we had here yesterday. But it has never been a burden, something that I've always carried lightly and been blessed to carry it. And it's worth thinking about that, because I often feel that so often if there are things in life which are a huge effort and you struggle with constantly, maybe sometimes, not always, but maybe you're in the wrong place. Christian ministry, I believe, should come to people, and it is something that they should carry, and there should be a joy in it. And I've carried this for the last 25 years. And even beyond my retirement, we will continue to minister. We were with friends on Tuesday, folks that we haven't seen for years, in a distant church in central London. And so much happened in that place. And once again, an invitation from them to come back and share and bless. So in that sense, Christian priests never retire. But I wonder perhaps for you today, are you weary? Are you struggling? Is there something you're wrestling with deeply in your life? I wonder where you get your energy and life from. You see, Christianity should be something which is liberated. Yes, there are deep times of pain and suffering and loss, and we mourn together. But deep down, there should be a thread of joy, a hope, a lifting up. Deep down, we should know actually that all things will be well and all manner of things should be well. And we should literally be living out these words of Jesus when he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So if you're struggling today, I want to invite you to the real Jesus of the New Testament. His invitation to you should bring joy. His invitation to you should bring life. His invitation to you should be something which is liberating. So I want to ask you, is Christianity working for you? Or really is it, a real struggle? The invitation is to one of life and joy and peace and hope. There's a dance to it that every Christian should celebrate. And when you're in the Eucharistic prayer, we say, "Pour out your Holy Spirit on your people." that even though the early church suffered huge odds and everything was against them and most of them went to an early death, yet nevertheless there was a song of joy, a thread of hope. There was a knowing of something else and their hearts were lifted up. So do you know that today? See, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. The invitation is personal to you. He says, come to me and follow me. So if you are going to go anywhere, if you really want peace and joy in your life, if you want your burdens to be lessened, if you want to be able to cope with your existence, the first thing to do is to respond to his call when he says, will you come to me? Will you hear my voice? Will you walk alongside me? That's the invitation. It's deeply personal. It's personal to you. And if you are finding that your Christianity isn't working, it's all an effort, and you strive constantly, and just life just gets you down, have you really responded to the invitation where he says, come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? I don't know, but I pray that you do. Often we find that people who go to church, their lives are really often no different to anybody else. So often I think we sort of don't give ourselves in the way that his call demands of us. He says, will you surrender all? And you never really see the life that he is willing to offer if you don't give of yourself totally, completely. Very often I go to the beach. We will go to the beach in Cornwall, and we see an awful lot of people standing on the side of the Atlantic Ocean in such a beautiful place, but they never really get in. They just dabble. I get to the ocean and I run into the ocean and I swim. I give myself totally to it. I want it to surround me. I want it to be total. Many of us have never really sensed the power that Christianity can offer is because still we're on the edge, we dabble. We're a bit like Peter. It says in the Gospels that before the crucifixion, here was Peter, he was observing Christ. And it says constantly that he stood at a distance. He was an observer. He stood at a distance. He didn't really encounter the life that Jesus was offering yet. He stood at a distance. His heart was reticent. And it was only when finally he came to the lakeside and Jesus was there and he restores him that suddenly he gives of himself totally. So where are we today? We can come to church and be on the edge. We can be on the PCC and be on the edge. We can know everything about the Anglican Church. Maybe we've been coming to church for years and years and years, but we've never really committed ourselves, really. It's never been a thing of the heart. And we've never responded to those powerful words where Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. And therefore our hearts daily are restless. And we are wearied. If you're like that today, it's a good news because he invites you. He doesn't invite the perfect. He doesn't invite those people who are wonderfully sorted, who are living the high life. No, he says, come to me, you, if you're struggling, and know me. And then he says, come into relationship. Take my yoke upon you. We're going to do this together. It's a call of cooperation. A yoke is an intimate thing because here are two oxen, necks together, walking together, ploughing a field, and it's together that he wants to share our life. And whatever you're going through, as well as the call to him, there's a call to cooperation with him, to be with him, Amazingly, the metaphor is a powerful one because oxen were often joined together, one who was mature and old and experienced, and the younger one who was not so experienced and could learn from the one who had been a bit more of life together. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Jesus says, I am humble of heart. I am lowly and humble of heart. And this journey that we come together, as well as responding to his call, as well as being something of cooperation, it is also something that comes out of choice of humility, where we constantly learn to serve and serve and serve and serve and expect nothing back, because that's the Jesus way. And it's only then, actually, that we see the rewards of it and the flourishing and the blessing, the Jesus way. When we give and we give and we give and we don't expect anything in return and we live a life out of humility in the service of others, the Jesus way. But as long as you are occupied with your own self, your own concerns and what you're about, you will never experience the peace that he can give, the life that he offers, and it will be distant from you. Our journey of faith here for the last 25 years of my ministry is something I've wonderfully carried lightly. There's been joy in it because I believe I'm in the right place. I was watching somebody on Friday who was praying for another person in a cafe. Barbara and I were there having some coffee and some cake together, and I noticed in the distance a woman was in council with somebody else, and at the end of their conversation, it was in a church, the lady stopped and she reached out and she prayed for the other person. It was a God moment. I could see that the woman who'd received the prayer was uplifted. It was a precious moment. I wanted to go out to her and say to her, well, thank you for being here and saying those prayers today, because you've brought words of life. Thank you. I didn't. You see, Christianity works. It works, but it only works when you give yourself entirely to it. It only works when you cooperate with Jesus, who says, my yoke is easy. It only works when you choose the way of the cross, which is of self-sacrifice. It only works then. And as long as you don't do these things, you will miss it. And you'll wonder, you know, what is this about? So is it working for you? On Friday night, I was at a celebration of another priest of his 20 years in ministry at St. Edmund the King, not far from here in North Harrow, in Northwood rather. And there was a bishop who spoke, Bishop Michael Colclough, who used to be the Bishop of Kensington. I looked at him, I watched him through the whole of the service. I was observing the way that he conducted himself, and I could sense he was a man of deep prayer. He was somebody who knew God. As he delivered his wonderful sermon, I was deeply touched by it. And I thought, you know, Michael, Christianity works for you. And what you've encountered has been powerful in your life, and it's made a difference. And these years that you've given is because you've known Jesus. You've walked alongside him. You've been with him. You've been yoked with him. And you've responded to his call. And I thought, Michael, Christianity has worked for you. Thank God for that. But is it working for you? How real is this for you? That's the challenge. How important is this? Are you just standing still on the side? Or are you responding to the call when he says, come and follow me? How real is it for you? You'll know. And whatever you face today, some folks here facing real battles, real struggles. You know who they are. Whatever you face today, if you can just hear this life-giving words of Jesus and respond to his call, it can be yours as well. Come to Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Learn from Jesus. That's the story. Come to Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Christianity works. Amen. We stand for the creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We pray to the Father, so please sit or kneel as Wendy leads us in our prayers.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, teach us how to still our racing thoughts. Help us to come to you, arguing nothing, pleading nothing, asking nothing, except to be still in your presence. You understand us, Lord. You know our every thought. Nothing is a mystery to you. Let the Holy Spirit enter into our minds and guide and direct our thoughts. Be before us when we speak, beside us when we act, and within us when we listen, so that we can truly be of service to you and walk in the ways of peace and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before you, Heavenly Father, in our prayers, all those in our world who try to survive every day without food or shelter due to natural disaster, war and conflict, and those homeless on our streets through no fault of their own. We pray for all aid agencies and for their tireless efforts to bring relief in what often seems impossible circumstances. Lord Jesus, we pray especially today for the people of Venezuela in this time of fear and loss. We ask that you bring comfort to those who are hurting and shelter to those without homes and strength to all who are responding with care and compassion. May your presence with them be a source of peace, and may there be hope even in the midst of uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, you touch the suffering. Listened to the ignored, gave the depressed something to hope for. You bandaged the broken with love, and you healed them. We believe that your power to heal is still present. So we pray to you, Lord, for those whose minds are menaced by thoughts which worry or wound them. We remember those who feel redundant and discarded, and those whose hearts are broken because love is gone. We pray for all those who suffer in body, mind or spirit, and especially today for Sue Broach, Elizabeth Bellow, Malcolm George, Joyce Nicolay, Pam Story, Easterin Suresh, Martin Vowles, Gary Williams and Angela Zadurian. We remember those who are bereaved and ask your comfort, Lord, for those remembering Margaret Blay, Jack Phillips, Gabriel Jordan, George Scott, Derek Harrowell, Peter York, and Norman Slater, whose anniversaries occur at this time. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yesterday, I happened to see the Church of England World Cup prayer, and we're going to pray that now. God of glory, as the world gathers to celebrate the game of football, we pray for a continuing, harmonious, and joyous World Cup. We pray for safety and security for the players and officials on the pitch, fans in the stands, and the spectators at home. May we see and celebrate the hand of God in the creativity of every free kick, skillful pass, or impossible save. May we have compassion and perspective on the missed kicks, missed penalties, and muddled VARs. And may we understand that every winning team needs a losing team, even if your team was the better team. We ask that the journey to World Cup glory be not only for the nation that wins. May we see something more of the world you want us to be, a gathering of every nation and people who share your glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray, Lord, that your kingdom come in joy and generosity, in black and in white, in the small and in the large, in the ordinary and the special. And to you be the glory now and always. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.